providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Peter Buchvar. I think he lays out the case perfectly for just how muddy the future is for markets, for economies, even for central bank policy. As much as we try to cover what the Fed is going to do and where the markets are going to go, quite frankly, we always do need to remember that the guests that we have on that seem so sure about a certain direction in moves, they're usually carrying some sort of bias into that because I don't even think the Fed knows what they are going to do. They have told us, and they seem to be still very much sticking with the data, hoping that inflation comes down. That being said, I hope you all can join us in New Orleans. Please get in touch with Shad and I if you're going to be at that conference. Moving on to the last two segments of the weekend show, we're featuring a replay of our monthly conversation with Richard Postma, aka Doc, covering mostly metals, but all kinds of other sectors as well. Here we go with Doc. Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. This daily editorial will also be featured on our weekend show as we are chatting with Richard Postma, aka Doc. Now Doc, we'll jump around to a lot of the main sectors that we always talk about, starting with gold. Gold's on a lot of people's minds, as it always is on our website, but gold had a very interesting end to the quarter, Q3, where it broke just below that 1675 level and pretty much tested out that 50-month moving average and then has rebounded. It's been about a week-long rebound now. It's moved up about $100, and even today on Wednesday, we saw some weakness to start the day, which I think was somewhat expected from investors just because of the run that the markets and metals have been on. But that weakness is getting bought back today. Gold was down over $25. Now it's down only about $5, up at that 1725 level. Doc, what are you seeing in the charts here? How significant could this recent rebound be for gold?
Okay, let me just make a couple of comments first, Corey. Remember when we had that grind down in gold that I talked about months ago that we would have, and then we had kind of a double bottom, and there were those that thought that was a bottom in gold. Well, it wasn't. We took that out last month on an intra-month basis. And also, when I last talked to you about a month ago, I mentioned that we had had 6 months of lower closing lows. And I mentioned back then we were due for a month where we're going to close higher. And that looks like this month. And I think this month is going to hold. I would be surprised if we close lower than where we closed in September. So that's a positive. The other interesting thing is that we had an intra-month low below the 50-month exponential and simple moving averages. And then we closed above the simple moving average on the monthly chart as far as the 50-month. And we bounced off that this month so far, and we're moving higher. And that's encouraging. However, we're not out of the woods. We're not starting a new bull market here yet in gold. And so people should be cautious, but it's a good time to add. Actually, it was last month, and I bought on dips that month, and I've been buying fairly regularly every week into stocks that I feel are completely decimated.
Well, Doc, I know you look at things from more of a longer-term value investor standpoint, and so you're often looking at the monthly charts, and you're looking to catch the major trends. There's different investors or even traders that have different time horizons. Some people are zeroed in on day trading using the hourly charts. Some people are using the daily and weeklies. But from a larger term perspective, it still has a pattern now, unfortunately for gold, of making even a lower low and lower highs. Is there any other technical data that you're going to be looking at from, let's say, the monthly charts or even the weekly charts where you want to see a major milestone achieved to give you an all clear that the trend is going to have some legs to it next time?
Shad, I do not want to see a close below the 50-month moving averages. That's what I don't want to see. if we get a close like that, we're definitely going to be in this bear market longer than people will like. And I think that's a distinct possibility right now. I think there's a very good chance that we might still close below the 50-month moving averages. And I think the odds are with that. However, the good news is something I've been mentioning for months, is that the monthly strength indicators are still quite good, so that we're seeing a gradual move down in gold. We're not seeing a plunge like we saw back in 2012 and 13. In fact, when you look at the number of months we're out from the highs compared to back in 2012 and 13, we're in much better shape. And I don't see the percentage retraction that we saw back then. So that's the good news. And that tells you that this gold market is still in good shape. And when we get the next move higher, we're going to have a really nice move higher, I believe.
So, Doug, you mentioned that you're looking at some of the stocks that have been decimated here. I think a lot of people can make the argument that almost every stock in the precious metals sector has been decimated, but that also can carry over to a lot of other sectors. What does this decimated relate to? How do you define that when you're looking at a stock?
Well, you know, the juniors have been decimated. A lot of the junior companies, and they're at levels we haven't seen in years. And I'm buying some of those. I'm getting them pennies on the dollars, some of these things. And like Shad said, I'm not a short-term investor. I like to catch the next big trend and get 200, 300, 400% profits on what I do. And I'm not interested in day trading. So I'm very patient. And I've been buying consistently some of these stocks that have really got decimated. Now, some of the mid-tiers have further the fall. And I talked about Sentinel stocks in the past. Some of those large cap stocks still have a ways to fall, in my opinion, some of them. And so those are the ones to watch. And when they get to lower levels, then I can be comfortable in really starting to put my capital into them primarily and not into the juniors any longer. And that's what I'm waiting for.
Well, Doc, do you take anything away from the recent move lower that we saw in gold, where it went down, hit 1622, and has rebounded up back up over that 1675 support level at the same time that silver had quite a run over the last week? Really, it didn't pull back as much as gold in the very near term when gold was still pulling down. It kind of held its own. And then it's really rallied back sharply. And some of the stocks really took off over the last week. Does that give you any hope for maybe an intermediate term bouncer? Or are you just thinking this is going to be held in October as this green candle for the monthly chart and then reverse back down again?
We could move higher here for a little while, Shad. But as I mentioned, I don't think this is the start of another bull market. And you know, the thing about when you look at particularly that silver chart, for those that love the cup and handle, we're in good shape. Now, I mentioned a long time ago that I would love to see silver drop further and really form a beautiful handle, a lower pricing for the handle. And it's probably in the process of doing that. It looks really nice based on a cup and handle. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. You know, we can all hope for Nirvana. But so far, those that love the cup and handle, they're in good shape right now. And if it continues, we could actually start moving silver up sometime in 2023, probably in the second half of the year, where it's the start of a long-term bull run. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's still possible. But it's not, in my view, going to happen in the first half of the year.
So again, Doc, kind of that cloudy or muddy outlook, something similar to what Peter Buchvar was saying in the first two segments. Doc, we're out of time for this segment on the radio, but we're having you back on next segment. And remember, everyone listening on the radio, this is a replay from a Wednesday conversation that we posted with Doc. So, Doc, this recent rebound in everything, but still focused on precious metals and the underlying stocks, to me, it's been a little bit different in the sense that it feels like silver has very much outperformed to the upside. And some of the higher quality stocks, in my eyes, have done better. Now, again, it's about a 5, 6-day rally, let's call it. But the better stocks, or at least the ones that I consider better, some days they have moved up 10%+. Well, I've noticed some of the weaker stocks out there really haven't moved. And I think this is different from the recent rebounds throughout this year, these dead cat bounces, where it felt like almost all of the stocks moved up in tandem. Have you noticed a different characteristic about this recent rebound when it comes to the stocks?
A little bit, but a lot of them are still in channels, you know, especially on the weekly charts. And the volume isn't there yet. That's what bothers me. And so looking at that and the fact that they're in channels, they can move back up and challenge their channels again, the upper part, and then we could see a fallback, you know, the rest of the year, which I wouldn't surprise me at all. But even you look at Newmont broke out a little bit, but it wasn't a strong breakout. And I wouldn't be surprised yet to see Newmont move down to $30, $35 a share. So I would be cautious here. If you're a trader, it's a great time. But for me, I just watch it. You know, I bought a couple of weeks ago a number of positions because I liked what I was seeing. You know, we had gotten hit for 6 months in a row on gold. And so it was time to buy some, and I did that, but I'm not going to chase this rally.
Well, Doc, you mentioned that you're finding the best value in the juniors because they've already given up so much of their market caps and values, and a lot of them are down 60 to 80%. So they're pretty beat up. But you mentioned you could still see more downside in some of the larger cap and the mid-tiers. When you do start getting more fully allocated for the larger bull run, will you have an even mix between the explorers, developers, and producers, or will you be more weighted to producers or royalty companies? How will you allocate your portfolio when you feel like most of the sector has bottomed?
I'll primarily look at the producers and the royalty companies because I've taken a nice position in some of the explorers that I think aren't going to go into bankruptcy, which a lot of people are talking about. But I'll primarily focus on the producers and the royalty companies and some of the mid-tiers when I really feel this is bottom, because when we come out of this, they're going to be the first ones that outperform. And then I can, if I have, you know, some gunpowder left, I can add to my junior companies as well, because it'll take a little while for them to get the mojo that the producers and royalty companies will get when they come out of the gates.
Now, Doc, one other metal that I keep hearing a fair bit about how people are more bullish on it moving into next year and the next few years is copper. Even though copper got very extended away from a lot of the monthly moving averages that I follow, like the 50, even the 200-month moving average, copper was a couple dollars almost above those moving averages through 2021, even into early 2022, and then went through almost a waterfall decline in the month of June, has very much stabilized between, let's say, 3.25 up to 3.75. Are you bullish copper into next year?
No. Copper right now is struggling to hold the 200-week moving average. It is struggling. And if it breaks through that, we're going to be headed back to 250 copper. And here's the problem. We have a worldwide recession coming up, and there's going to be less building of about everything and everything that needs copper. And I think that's what the chart is signaling to us, that we're in for multiple weeks and months of weakness across the globe. And I think the copper chart is starting to tell us that. And I would be very careful right now in taking positions in companies that are heavy in copper. And even on the monthly chart, copper is starting to approach some very important moving averages on the monthly chart. And if it takes those out, particularly the 200-month moving average, which is not far away from, then we're going to see copper continue to move down, be lower in 2023 if it breaks that.
Well, Doc, how much do you think that the commodity sector has suffered really the last 6 months because of the strong U.S. dollar? I mean, for a while, commodities and the dollar were moving up in tandem as the inflationary theme was so big. But recently, we've seen the dollar keep trucking higher and higher and higher month after month. It got up to 114 just a few weeks ago. And that's been a real headwind to the commodity sector. Now, it has admittedly rolled over the last week or two, but how much do you think that the dollar is playing a role in keeping a damper on the commodity sector?
Well, I think that's a significant factor, Shad. And I think the dollar, actually, we're moving toward a peak on the dollar. I said a while back, I thought, you know, that might happen the end of the year. And I think we're starting that process even this month. Now, we can move higher next month and challenge the previous high for a nice double top, or maybe in the month after that. But I think the dollar actually is going to peak the end of this year. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to just turn down and everybody's going to be happy. But if you look back to 2012 and 13, I think it's going to be very similar, where it just hangs up there for a while, and we might develop some wide trading ranges on the monthly chart. So I think that is probably how this thing is going to end before we start to see a depreciation in the dollar on the charts. Because you have to remember that every other nation sucks right now. I mean, the European markets are going to get crushed with their problems with the lack of gas and oil and the price of those commodities. And they're going to have a deindustrialization, especially Germany. In fact, the United States, since they love Germany so much, they're going to steal some of their industries, you know, and they're going to do that in other European industries. So, yeah, I don't see from that standpoint the dollar getting hurt right away.
Fair enough, Doc. The dollar really has been that safe haven asset where a lot of investors have gone into the dollar. Just a quick comment on this dollar chart. While the dollar has shown weakness over the last six trading days, it really came down to test that 110 level and has, at least for today, bounced fairly strong off that level. Is that a key level you're watching in the chart to just assess if a further breakdown would even be possible, even though you're not expecting it right now?
Yeah, it is kind of, Corey. I think we had a bounce back today, but I still think we could trend a little bit lower and break that level for the month of October. That one surprised me. But that's not going to change my thesis at all because I'm looking at a daily chart. But when you get out to the monthly chart does not look dangerous for the dollar at all right now. Whereas you could buy into the argument from the daily chart that it's in trouble. But you always have to look at the longer trend charts because they're going to tell you the major trend of it. And that's not giving out any worrisome signs right now for the dollar on the monthly chart.
Well, Doc, it seems like the whole markets, whether it's the cryptoverse, the general U.S. equities, the commodity space, seems to be trading in tandem with not just how the dollar moves, but also how the moves in yields, especially the 10-year move. And it seems like on most days, if the dollar and the 10-year is up, then the rest of the markets are down. And then the reverse is true. If the dollar is down and the 10-year is down, then the markets are up, the commodities are up, the cryptos are up. What's your outlook on yields? Could they diverge from the dollar? Could we see something different happening in the bond market? What's your outlook there?
Well, I think the bond market, we're getting pretty close to a bottoming for a while. We are getting very close on the bond market to the 200-month moving average. We have a little bit more to go. But I think that the bond market could then hold. We could get a little bit of a rally for a number of weeks, and I think that's a possibility. And I don't think we're going to just break through the 200-month moving average like a knife through butter. I think that area is going to hold for a while, and it looks like the bond market that we could be bottoming here in the next few weeks and months. And I think that it could hold for a while before we see it even going higher. Speaking about that, you know, the Fed has received some good news when the stock market has rallied like this, and the ADP report on employment has shown that employment's in good shape yet. So the Fed, from that standpoint, doesn't have to worry about raising rates some more. And so it's been helped by this. And they even upped the last month's employment report by a number of thousands. And so you're starting to see people come back. There are jobs available. People come back into the workforce that haven't been working for a while. Maybe they aren't getting the stimulus money anymore. Maybe they figure, hey, I better make some bucks by actually working for once in a long time. So the Fed has more room to raise rates, frankly, and the Bank of England scared everybody. But I don't think that's a sign that the Fed is going to pivot anytime soon unless they have a credit crisis of some kind.
Well, I know a lot of people hanging on some of the, it's not just Bank of England actions. A couple other central banks, too, have started to step into different parts of their market. Everybody does try to carry that over to the Fed, but who knows what the Fed's going to do. It does seem like they're still very much on course to continue to raise rates through the end of this year, but to a lesser extent than we have seen through earlier this year for those higher rate cuts.
Yeah, and Corey, may I see something?
Absolutely.
I think that's a great point you made about the rates. They may slow down how they're raising. They may go to 25 basis points. I don't think they're going to pause, but yeah, they could slow down. And so the Fed has a lot of options here as far as that's concerned.
Yeah, it all ties into what I've been reading a bit more about is potentially range-bound trading. As we move through the end of this tightening cycle, doesn't mean we're going to start getting rate cuts right away. That might be the time where the markets finally do build out some sort of a base, but who knows how long that's going to take. Doc, thank you as always for your time. Great chatting with you. I do love our monthly recap. And everybody listening on the radio and to this weekend's edition, thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back with you next week. But again, we will be traveling to New Orleans, so a little bit light on the commentary front on the back end of the week. Everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.